Everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got another Twitter Spaces that we like to do. I've done this, this is the second week in a row. We're on a Tuesday, jumped on Twitter Spaces where people can call in. I love to do stuff like this. I love to hear from different listeners that are out there and hear what they're thinking going into the new week of the Survivor season. So when I have time on a Tuesday, I like to jump on and do this. Of course, if you're following me on Twitter, you'll get a notification. I can also do a better job of scheduling these so people know a little bit further ahead of time when we are going to do one. But you are going to hear me talking with a bunch of different listeners with some thoughts about what they think could happen going into our Survivor episode coming up this week. Of course, after it happens, join us live for the Survivor Know-It-Alls over at robiswebsite.com. Make sure you're subscribed. robiswebsite.com/subscribe. We've got a great week of podcasts, including we will hear from Angelina from Survivor David versus Goliath this week, and also our friend Hannah Shapiro on the Feedback Show. So make sure you're locked in for a great week of podcasts. But in the meantime, enjoy our Twitter Spaces talking with the RHAP listeners about what they think could happen here in Wednesday night's episode of Survivor. Everybody, welcome back to our Twitter Spaces here. Again, it was a Twitter Tuesday where we are talking about what's going on here as we head into another Survivor episode this week. We had our two-hour merge episode. We got a lot of predictions last week. This was really fun to go through. I love hearing from new people. I mean, I love hearing from our RHAP community members, but it's so exciting when I get to talk to people for the first time. So if you are here and you are on Twitter Spaces, and you have some thoughts about what's going to happen after that two-hour merge episode that we saw last week, would love to hear from you. I see that we have somebody right off the bat. Emily has a hand up, and so let's go ahead and let's bring in Emily. Okay, here we go. Here is Emily. We love to hear from
Emily.
Okay, all right. Emily, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Hi,
yeah,
Emily.
I'm here.
How are you?
Hi. I'm great. I'm so excited that you're doing this. This is cool.
Yeah, I love to do it. Emily, where are you calling from?
Michigan.
Okay. All right. All right, Emily. You're the first person on the board here on a Twitter Spaces. Okay. What did you want to talk about?
Let's talk about this eight-person alliance. Like, do we think this is going to stick together?
Well, first off, is it a seven now? They kind of voted a person out of the eight.
But don't... I feel like Marianne's going to come in.
Is Marianne in the eight now?
I think she's going to come in. I think Jonathan and Omar are going to make sure of it.
Okay. So, would you want to give me your thought first?
I think they're going to go a few votes and then it's going to be chaos.
Yeah. My gut feeling is that I feel like that we get like a easy vote or two, whether it's Chanel, whether it's Tori, but you know, if we are talking about an eight that has Marianne now, well, all of a sudden half of the eight is Taku. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Ideally, you don't want to make an alliance of eight where half the other people are in the group. Now, maybe that they're feeling like, okay, this is quote unquote the eight, but we've got Romeo on, you know, like because Drea and Marianne both have an extra vote, which kind of cancels each other out. And so at that point, it's kind of like 5-5. And then, you know, if, as long as you still have Romeo on the side, that maybe at some point, like, if he doesn't get voted out, you have Romeo, Drea, Rox, Roy, Hi, Mike. And that's, you know, 5-4.
They're gonna have a lot of capital. Yeah. They're going to have a lot of capital in deciding which way it goes.
Mm-hmm. How do you see
it? I think you've convinced me that the Taku is going to be more dangerous. At first I was like, no, they're going to stay together. But if you have four from an original tribe, that's quite frightening.
It's not ideally like how you would want to make up a group where, you know, when it started, it was sort of like a little bit more of like the three-way grouping of, okay, you have like three people from here, three people from here. You know, that seemed like a little bit more like something that, but like they're going to like look up and see what happened of like, boy, I think, Omar really saved Marianne.
Yeah, Omar's the one that this eight is the best for, because he's the one that's going to have the most control. And but I also think on the flip side, it might be the worst for Jonathan, because he's already being talked about as a shield. If you put him in a big alliance, he's going to look even bigger. And mm-hmm. they're going to be like, oh no, the 7 foot tall beast, time to go.
Yeah, so you think Jonathan's time is going to be up sooner than later?
Absolutely. Poor guy.
Okay.
Here, I'll pass the mic.
All right, Emily, thank you so much for the call, okay?
Perfect. Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. Let's say hello to Tyler. Okay. Tyler is here. I know I talked to Tyler a couple times on Instagram, but this is a first on Twitter Spaces. Tyler, how are you? Tyler, come in.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. My mic was muted.
You're good, Tyler. How you doing? How you been?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Excited to hear from you, Tyler. What are you thinking going into the final 11?
Yeah, so I'm not like the greatest at like full-on predictions, but
who
yeah.
Is? Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it definitely seems like the Taku 4, like the spotlight's all on them, especially after that move from Omer, because like Marion's got the spotlight because of the tools she has in the game. Jonathan's got the spotlight just because he's been such a beast, like any other. Lindsay's like associated with Jonathan, so I feel like she's got the spotlight because of that. And then after this like big move that Omer has made, seems like everyone's going to figure out, okay, he's like a real strategic threat. And I feel like Marianne's going to be the one to maybe jump ship. Like it kind of seemed edit wise, like the strategic sort of slightly strategic rise we've been seeing from Marianne is maybe setting us up for like, oh, maybe Marianne's going to figure out how to like get out of that spotlight.
Yeah.
And pick up somewhere else. So
Tyler,
yeah.
That's interesting, because Marianne is definitely somebody to watch this week, because while we saw where Marianne was sort of like saved by Omer, like you know, you have some troublemakers that are out there like Tori, like Chanel, who could be like saying like, yeah, you know, we got told to right. Even actually, they voted for Jonathan. But Romeo voted for Marianne. If they're cause like, yeah, lots of people from your tribe were saying your name, Marianne. That could, I think, get the wheels turning for Marianne. So she could be like a really interesting person to potentially go in the other direction. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And yeah, I just think her threat level is solid right now, because she still is just sort of seen as like this like bubbly, you know, kind of wild personality. But I just feel like the few strategic moments we saw from her sort of showed like, oh, she's got some game in her back pocket. So yeah, curious to see where she ends up.
Okay. If you had to guess, what do you think she's flipping or sticking?
My guess is that she's flipping, especially given like how much she's been sort of testing the waters with everybody else. Like we got a lot of Marianne sort of like, let me just hear everybody out. She seems like the one who's out of everyone in the Taku 4 who's like already kind of making a flip plan. Yeah, who knows? But that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think I probably would lean towards, if I had to make a bet right now, does she stick with Taku until the end, or does she flip against them? You know, just in terms of like the story that we've had on the show. Also, we had that storyline where she was upset with Jonathan, and we've really seen things from her perspective quite a bit. So I definitely could see a scenario where she feels like, okay, that she needs to make a big move and flips away from her tribe to go in a different direction.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the same.
Okay.
I one other quick question about Roxroy, and then I'll pass the mic. If that's
go for
okay.
it, go for it, Tyler.
So yeah, it seems like a lot of like dialogue this week about like what's going on with that Roxroy vote. Like, did he spell Lindsay's or Lydia's name wrong?
Right.
Like, was he hesitating? To me, I'm getting, and I've heard, like, I think it came up slightly in Shannon Gus's episode this past week, where I feel like Roxroy is, like, clearly playing, like, an old-school game, tight to the chest. It doesn't really seems like he is playing strategically or even voting strategically. Like, it seems sort of like Borneo voting in alphabetical order kind of vibe, where it's like an expression vote, right? Where he's sort of like, just, I'm going to put my vote where, like, you know, based on like, you know, emotions or relationships. I don't know. Cause I feel like the Lindsay vote is not strategic. It seems like he just is sort of going his own way. And so I'm wondering, like, is Dre going to be able to like lock that in? Like, how many more times are we going to get like a wild Roxroy vote before everyone's just like, okay, this guy, we can't play with him. Right. So.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question about what went on with Roxroy that I feel like that when we saw like with the vote a couple of weeks ago with Swathi, you know, nope, they didn't tell him to vote for Swathi. He was sort of left holding the bag. I wonder if it was either a vote split or that he was sort of like, you know, like if Drea like sort of told Roxroy like, hey, we got you, but wasn't like really like working closely with him on the vote. We saw Drea talking with people like Hi, but Roxroy just might have been so out of the loop that nobody told him like what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, no, I really feel like it's the latter. I feel like Drea's telling Roxroy, like, you're good, you're in the eight, I got you. But then, like, no one's really letting Roxroy, like, come to play at the table, you know? So it just seems like he's sort of fumbling through the game in this fascinating way. I also, like, one quick other note is, I feel like Roxroy is, like, one of the, in terms of, like, a survivalist player, I feel like we don't see a lot of older black men in that role. I feel like in the past, in terms of like the survivalist sort of like dad archetype, it's like always kind of like a grumpy old white dude. His game is sort of hard to place, but also like the survivalist aspect of it, it's like cool to see an older black person in that role, even though it's not necessarily like the most you know, amazing archetype in the modern era. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I feel that's like, that, you know, maybe the, like the old school comp, is like Rory. I think that, he was like that around, around the camp a little bit, but like,
yeah, that, that's a good call.
Rory had like a little bit of like he was a little like cantankerous, where I don't know if Roxroy necessarily has that.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's a good shout. There's, I know there's probably some other examples as well, but it just kind of dawned on me like, oh, have we ever seen like a older black man getting this much of the like survivalist edit. It's cool to see. So anyway.
Yeah. Tyler, always nice to talk to you. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, take care, Tyler. Bye.
All right. Bye.
I just want to remind people. So I have my mentions open. I know there's no chat on this, but if anybody wants to, you know, you can't come on and you want to chat and say anything, you can shoot me a mention on Twitter. And we have, such a star-studded crowd here on the Twitter Spaces. So lots of shout-outs to so many of the reality TV elite that are here. Let's say hello to Isaiah. Okay, here is Isaiah. Okay, I know Isaiah loves a good Twitter Spaces. Okay, Isaiah, how are you?
What's good, Ralph? How you doing, man?
Yeah, doing great. What's happening?
Not much. I'm about to go grocery shopping, but I saw you were doing a Spaces.
And what are you getting? Anything good?
Food. That's definitely something I'm getting.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I know. But we don't get to talk about Survivor, so I wanted to see your opinion. Shout out Chanel in the chat. Who in your opinion right now, Rob, is playing the best game? Like, give me like your top three people that so far.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to say, after this past week, well, now we've gotten to the merge, that I feel like, you know, Omer had, you know, a really, really great week. I thought that was, you know, incredible that he was able to, you know, save Marianne. He was the person I think that benefited most from, you know, keeping Jonathan and Marianne in the game, getting rid of Lydia, who was not somebody that, you know, he was working closely with. So I think that would be one. I've been very impressed with Mike so far, that I feel like that, you know, he's made like really great relationships, with almost everybody, that he's met in the game. And I'd say, I think I'd probably say three. I think it would be Drea. I've sort of like, gone back and forth a few different times on like whether I think she's, doing great or, just okay. And this was a tricky week to read that I felt like, just like from an outside perspective, I kind of thought that like going after Jonathan was a better thing for her potentially, to sort of like break up the people on Taku. And I didn't really understand why she kind of left Romeo, like didn't really push to like keep him in the loop and try to keep as many people from her grouping in there. But she seemed like very quickly to want to work with, you know, Mike and Hai and, you know, and John. And maybe it's like that she's all in on the amulet.
Yeah, I was going to say, all those people you listed, I think Mike is one of the people who's kind of like shocking, because I don't feel like he should be doing well, but he's doing really well, you know? And it's like, it's interesting to see him maneuver. I think Drea, another one of those players, like you were saying, I think just like the way that she's positioned, she's almost like a leader, but like I think people are also keeping their eyes on her, you know? So I'm curious to see how she does. Yeah. I think Chanel is interesting as well, because like the way that she kind of maneuvers.
Very interesting. Game, yes.
She's kind of like really like I'm not going to say showboaty, but like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's very scrappy and I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, you know, and Hai also is somebody else who is in, you know, a really interesting spot. Although I have to say that I didn't love getting rid of Lydia for him.
Yeah, I think that's going to really hurt his game. I mean, does it open opportunities a little bit? Yeah, because now, like, they're going to be like, all right, his duo's gone. Maybe I could scoop him up or whatever. But, like, he seems the type to, like, not be able to, like, fall back and, like, let other people kind of, like, try to at least influence him. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But yeah.
Can I say one other thing about Hai? Like, I think that, like, ideally, like, in a perfect world, like, if your best case scenario, I think, at the Survivor Merge is, like, you want to kind of be, like, where Kim was in Survivor One World, where it's like, okay, I have this group that, like, my starting group that I could kind of work with, or I have, like, this other group of other people that I've made, you know, friends I've made along the way from the swap or whatever, and I could go with them. And then you can kind of feel out like which is the better way to go. I kind of feel like that Hai is sort of like all in now on this new plan that came up at the merge.
Yeah, I mean, like, do we even think that he kind of like, or at least in your opinion, do you think that he really has the ability to kind of like adapt to a new situation now that Lydia's gone? Or like,
I mean, he's been very good in every other circumstance that we've seen him in the season. So I think he definitely, like, I don't think he wanted to get rid of Lydia, if I had to guess, but I think he felt like that there was no other choice. This was like, you know, it's a unique circumstance when they do this merge situation where there were only five other people. He was one of the other people who was vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So his choices were either Lydia, you know, Jonathan, Lindsay, or Marianne. And I kind of feel like that there was not enough support to go with Marianne. And I think he like kind of begrudgingly went along with the vote.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of Marianne, this is like the last thing I'll say, because I don't want to take all your time. Mm-hmm. That whole situation with John and Marianne, I mean, that has to like be dealt with next round, right? Or like, are they just going to ignore that and be like, Omar just did this whole thing, forget about that, we need to stick together? Like, I don't know.
What do you mean by the situation with them, Isaiah?
So like, all right, I mean, first of all, you got Marianne, who a lot of people are obsessed with her and don't like her, and they try to blindside her. That didn't work out, obviously. Yeah. Like, she had to find out that, like, they try to get her name out there. So it's like, obviously, I mean, Marianne has this information now, and this, you know, they're gonna have days to like think about it, at least. Like, I mean, I'm assuming there's gonna be some sort of ramifications from that. Does somebody,
you know, like a Chanel, like a Tory, like a Romeo, somebody who was kind of left out of that vote, can they get something like stir the pot and let Marianne know, like, by the way, you know, your tribe was trying to get rid of you?
I mean, as we've seen, Tori's a huge like opportunist, so I mean, I could see her trying, but I also feel like this tribe is going to be at a place where like they're just going to be down to like blow something up, and like the first time someone throws a name around, like someone's getting snitched on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like the next tribal is going to be like the most chaotic so far. I could be wrong about that, but I don't get the sense that it's going to be like as unified or easy as like we're kind of being led to think that it will be. You know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like that sometimes in Survivor, I feel like you get like a crazy vote, and then it's like, okay, well now we want a quiet vote. Now we want to sort of like solidify the ground. So I really feel like if I had to guess, that I feel like it's most likely, I think Tori, Chanel, or you know, outside shot at Romeo potentially, of sort of like just trying to stabilize this big group together next week.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I have to run to the store, thanks for letting me join. I appreciate that.
You got it, Isaiah. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Okay. All right. Let me say hello to, Mikey specifically requested, he sent me a tweet that said, "Hey, at Rob Cisternino, put me on." Okay. So he must have something important to say. Mikey Cherries.
Hello.
Mikey.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mikey. How are you?
That's great. I listen to the podcast like every week. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey.
Yes.
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
Tallahassee, Florida. Okay.
Got it.
Go to FSU.
Nice.
I've never seen the Amazon, though. Sorry.
I mean, you don't have to. That's fine.
Or All Stars. Sorry, Rob.
Okay, even better. That's fine. There's no rush. No rush, Mikey. Okay.
I've seen Token Tunes, though.
Okay. Every episode?
Huh? No, I might be missing a couple.
Okay. All right. So, Mikey, tell me, what are people over at FSU saying about Survivor 42?
I don't know what people at FSU are saying about Survivor 42. I know what I'm saying.
What are you saying
about Survivor? So, I'll talk about my favorites. I really like Chanel.
Yeah.
Even though I think she's playing horrendously, but she could dig herself out.
Mm-hmm.
I love Chanel though. I love Chanel. I think Omar's playing a really good game.
Yes.
I think he really turned it around, especially not having a vote. It could work out for him. I'm confused at High voting out Lydia, because it's like, he said that he would go to Rocks for her, and he did. Or not he did, but he would. But then he votes her out.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know.
Well, I think the thing you have to remember is he only had four choices. You know, he's one of the people that can be voted for. So it's either go with the group against Lydia, or that, you know, things are moving so fast where, you know, if he is and they're running out of time, you know, it's like they don't have a ton of time. We saw the plan change 3 or 4 times. I think that he might, you know, felt like, OK, well, if I try any harder to change this, like there's a good chance like it could, you know, swing back around to me. So,
yeah.
I had wondered when I watched the episode, like, could he have gotten, you know, gone to Drea and gotten the you know, enough people to pile on Marianne at the last minute? But I just wonder if he ran out of time or if he felt like, I don't want to rock the boat anymore.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I think he could have like gotten Marianne out, but it's so crazy to tell because you don't know with the edit and everything. And it's just like, what? Like, there's so many moving parts. Jonathan, he's interesting. Interesting that they would keep him as a shield, but you can only keep someone as a shield for so long until they just beat you out and win out till the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be careful. Like, I think that, you know, Jonathan might be safe for a little bit, but I can think that, you know, you can't forget about him.
Yeah, you can't forget about him.
Okay.
Marianne, kind of on the bottom, kind of, but she has an idol, so that could be her saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
Very nervous for her in this
and an extra vote.
And an extra vote, correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I don't know who could go out this episode. Maybe, could be Chanel, could be Tori, could be Marianne.
Could be anybody, but Mikey, say a name.
Say a name?
Yeah.
It might be Tori's time.
Okay, all right. You heard it here. Mikey Cherry says it's Tori.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Mikey. All right.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Let's say hello to, Tommy Guam, our friend, is here. Tommy, how are you on a Twitter hello. Spaces?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, of course, Tommy. What's happening?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
What's going on?
Nothing. Just want to talk to Survivor, I guess, right? We're here for.
Sure. Let's do it.
What do you want, Winnipeg, and when Dingham's going home? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I'd love to know specifically about what do you think is going to happen this week after what we just saw.
Let me put this together. I haven't heard too many people say this, or anybody really. I think Leanna Boris brought up. You think Omar's going to catch some heat at all? Because I mean, it was kind of fast how it happened at the end. People might come back to camp and realize Omar just pulled one over on us, kind of almost, and got rid of one of the eight, our own eight. I don't think Lydia really wasn't coming for Jonathan.
Yeah, but
she was kind of sucking into that.
The problem is that Lydia's not there to sort of to say, like, I didn't want to turn against the eight. Like, I was given, this. I said, I'll do whatever you want. It's Omer's word against the word of a person who's not there.
Yeah, I get that. But it was like the last minute move. I think everybody's going to go back and ask other people what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think information will get spilled that way. I mean, Chanel was in the middle of a conversation that I think she shouldn't have been in at one point between Lydia and Lindsay. And then Chanel, I think it was there. I think it was mm-hmm. like they said not to talk about information in front of us, so she could bring that back to some people.
If anything, I think that people might sort of say Omer was like a real mover and a shaker on that vote. But I don't think that there's going to be any sort of like blowback towards him.
Okay.
I think people might just be observant of that. The fact that he was, really hustling on that vote.
He did hustle without a doubt. It'll kind of remind me of Sandra hustling in Game Changes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if he'll get blowback. She was a different story, of course, but.
And I'm sure Omer is going to be like, "What? I didn't even have a vote. What do you mean? I didn't even vote against Lydia."
Well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody could figure it out and be like, "This guy's dangerous. He didn't have a vote. He put everything together." Mm-hmm. I think somebody like Janelle and Tori, who have experience playing these kind of games, might be able to, work from the bottom.
But also, I think in his favor, Tommy, is that he's like, "Hey, I was just trying." Ultimately, he has the loyalty card. Like, it wasn't like mm-hmm. that he was working hard to screw over his team. He was working hard to protect his team. So it's like that. At the end of the day, who's going to really fault him?
I mean, he protected Marianne, though, who wasn't even in the eight.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that and maybe somebody wait and says, "Boy, that Omer, I thought we have an eight. Why is he working so hard to protect Marianne, who's not even in the eight?" And maybe she's in it now, but he did work very hard to save somebody.
If he can squeeze Marianne in that eight spot, and they have all four of them in that's dangerous. Somebody's got to sniff that out and take one of them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually, who I think is going to go home, I think might be Lindsay this week.
Yeah.
And I think Mike's in the best position, though.
Mike's in a very good position. Where do you see the threat coming to Lindsay?
I think if there is some kind of uprising, I think it'll be hard. Jonathan may win immunity, right? Say, they know Marianne has the immunity idol. Say hi and Drea get together and be like, "Lindsay has the other half of the other amulet. Let's get rid of one of F4. Mm-hmm. Let's take her out, and then we have more power in the game."
Okay. All right. Tommy, we'll see where we go from here, okay?
Yeah.
All right, talk to you soon.
It's great that you're doing this.
Thanks a lot, Tommy. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Let's say hello to, here is Katarina Didark. Okay. Let's give this a try. All right. Let's see how bad I butchered your name, sir. Okay. Let's give it a try. Are you there?
I am.
Yes. How do I pronounce your name?
That's not my name. Sorry.
Oh, okay. It's a meme. What can I call you?
I'm Victor.
Victor. Hey, Victor. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Victor, where are you calling from?
From São Paulo, Brazil.
Oh, okay. My old stomping grounds.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Yes, okay. Victor, what are you thinking about Survivor right now?
I'm just wondering, because I find myself rooting for Jonathan, which is usually not something I would do to root for, like, I don't know, the challenge beast.
Yes.
I don't particularly think he's, I don't know, good in strategy at all. No. I'm probably not alone in that. But I was just wondering, how do you find his chances of getting all the way to the end? Just I don't know, maybe thinking in a parallel with what we saw, and this is, might be like a far-fetched, I don't know, situation, but like we saw Tony in Winners of War, they had like a big target on his back, but still made it all the way to his end, to the end. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that it's a little bit about, you know, managing threat level. And I think that what might be, you know, the path there for Jonathan is that he has a lot of people who look at him like a shield between people like from his own tribe, like Lindsay and Omer, and now Hi and Mike, and I think Andrea maybe. And they're looking at him as somebody who can help keep them safe by hiding behind him. And so if he can, you know, get a few more rounds to the point where, you know, at some point being physical is going to help once again in the challenges. If he can get like three or four more votes with his tribe having numbers, and especially like if his tribe has like, you know, that very small majority of like, you know, four and Marianne's extra vote in an 8-person alliance, and then they can get it down to like picking off the other people not in Taku in that alliance. Like that gives him a shot. If he can get to the fire, then, you know, he like there is a path for him. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't be picking him as like one of the top three or four people. But I said this the other night with Steven. I think that like probably if you're going to rank everybody, he's probably 5 or 6, which is not, you know, that not too bad for a guy who you probably would have picked maybe to go out before the merge.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a path for him. There's a path for him. And he needs to like keep his like Taku strong and then get it down to a point where then he can win, you know, a few challenges down the stretch. And then maybe, you know, there are people there who feel like that they need to like play an advantage on him to keep him safe. But at some point, you think people are going to wake up and smell the coffee with him.
For sure.
Okay.
And also, this is maybe not related, and just feel free to tell me shut up, but this is the first season I'm watching.
I will not tell you to shut up, Victor. That'd be so rude. I would just drop you and say that you had a bad connection.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's the more elegant solution.
Yes.
It's the first season I'm watching after binge-watching Australian Survivor. And I find myself, like, disappointed with the challenges just because every challenge in Australian Survivor is grueling almost. I wonder what's your take on that, like, especially having participated. Like, do they have to keep it simple on Survivor US for whatever reason?
I think that there are a lot of factors at play with that, that for whatever reason, you know, Australian Survivor, that they have much more like physical challenges. They are not as concerned with like players getting hurt in the challenges for better or for worse, depending on if you like that or not. I really think that U.S. Survivor, when I don't know if this is like an insurance issue or what, where after like Beast Mode Cowboy got hurt in one of the challenges, lost his life doing one of the challenges, I feel like that's sort of like really scared Survivor production, and that they don't try to make these challenges like as physically grueling where people could potentially hurt themselves, even though that wasn't like a combat challenge. I think that they like to keep the challenges shorter. And like, while they can be like physically grueling, like go into the water and pull things out, that I just feel like that they do not go like as physical with the Survivor challenges. And also, I think that they do try, especially now once we've gotten to the merge, I think that they are really looking at the things that are sort of like, how do we make this more fair for everybody? And so I think especially post-merge, you're not going to see that many physical challenges.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Victor, thank you so much for calling, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, take care. Bye. All right. Bye. Let me pick up one hell of a time who messaged me on Twitter or wrote on Twitter and said that he has evidence that Jonathan can go all the way. That he has a case to make for Jonathan, and I'd love to hear it. Okay. One hell of a time. Are you there? Let's hear the case for Jonathan.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. It's Tim.
Hi, Tim.
But yeah, so I have three things that I think Jonathan can make it all the way.
Okay. Coming in strong. Say, okay.
Like, the least impactful one, because, like, editing is whatever. But, like, in recent memory, during the Mergatory Challenge,
yes,
Jonathan is, like, the only person to have, like, a remix of the Survivor theme when he's pushing shit mm-hmm. and doing it. Okay. And I know, like, everyone's like, oh, he's a challenge beast, so it's fine for him to be doing that. But, like, they're giving him a lot of attention, which is kind of weird for just a normal Survivor player, but he's getting a lot. And then in confessionals and this and that. But this is, like, one thing that I think is actually pretty cool.
Yes, and I did hear that that music cue. I do think that, you know, I think that the show knows that a lot of the TV viewers eat that up. So I think they might just be, you know, editing for dramatic effect as opposed to that is more of a tell. Okay, so number two.
But that's like the weakest one.
Okay.
But I think that this cast has been like pretty gung-ho about using their advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been so many shot in the darks used, even though they're like shot in the darks, they don't really do much, but they're still being used. So since Jonathan doesn't have an outright advantage, I feel like the threat is going to slowly merge into taking out all the people with all the advantages. And since he doesn't have one, like, and he just has a lot of allies that do, he's going to get like a lot of the threat taken off of him and put on the other people.
That is very fair that we did see in season 41 that, and these players did not see that season, but sort of like it makes sense that like there's a lot of known advantages in the game. And I think that if he can sort of like, especially like if he is the one sort of pushing that, like, hey, we got to start getting rid of a lot of these advantages in this game. You see how many advantages Drea has? Sort of like shift the target to people who are, you know, having the loaded pockets more so than him. Hey, I stink at these challenges now. Like, I think it's probably like it's important for Jonathan not to do great at these next couple of challenges.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even though he's physically fit, like a lot of the challenges in like late stage Survivor are about like endurance or standing up or being like able to hold a lot of things at the same time. Like, necessarily, yeah. You don't need to be physically fit.
I would just push back a little bit and say that I think that that is the case for middle stage Survivor, whereas I think that at some point, like, we're going to have, like, that big obstacle course, like final four. Like, I think that those challenges end up being physical again when we get back to the end.
Yeah, and I feel like he can still do well at those, but by that time, like, if all of them are like primarily physical and he's the only one that has enough gas in the tank to win, like mm-hmm. he can't really be voted out.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, okay. All right. And then Tim, what's the third one?
And the third one, I just think that like out of everyone that's in the game, he has a lot of allies that like really seem to like him and are willing to like basically die in the game for him. Like, I know that like Hai or Omar or even Mike, like, they just met him, but they all seem, like, very close with him. And they, like, even though Omar didn't have a vote, he still tried to change the whole entire narrative to keep him alive.
Mm-hmm.
Hai was willing to sacrifice Lydia just to be using him as a shield. Like,
yeah.
And that's after, like, a few days. Like, I feel like
So I will say that I don't think that High had another option. I think that it was sort of like High had to reluctantly go for that. Omer like tried to save him, but like I agree with what you're saying that there are a lot of people want to work with him. But I would say that I don't know if people are ready to lose their life in the game for him.
Yeah. Well, that's fair, but I'm just saying that like mm-hmm. he has a lot of people that are going up to bat for him. Mm-hmm. So he just seems to have like that social capital and at least some intelligence rather than just being this huge brawny like guy. I feel like he has a lot more options that people are not taking into granted.
Yeah.
But that is said, this cast is really good and there's a lot of people that are playing that have a really good shot at winning. Yeah. So it could really go either way.
It's a wide open game. It's a great cast. Tim, I appreciate the call. Out of your points, number two by a mile.
Yeah. For sure. For
okay.
sure.
All right. Thank yeah. you. Faded Sorry. Tim. Okay. All right.
All right. Have a nice day.
Take care. All right. Let me say hello to my old friend Taylor is here. Let me say hello to her and see how she's doing. Taylor has been, you know, tweets about Survivor, about had some pregnancy tweets this week. Taylor.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Taylor, how yes. are you? How are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you?
It's so nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear yours, too. Well, I hear yours all the time, but I'm just, you know, I this is the first time I can talk back.
Yeah. Okay. Taylor, where are you living these days?
I live in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so, yes. and what are the people in Providence thinking about Survivor 42?
Well, I do. I try to chat with the people on the street here in Providence, but, my thoughts, what I wanted to ask you about is I'm like super obsessed with Marianne lately. Like I think her
she living rent free in your head.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I really can't stop. Like at first, you know, I think like a lot of people, I was like, oh, Marianne, like, she's so cute. Like, this is fun, like, to have, like, a fun person on Survivor. But I don't know. I rewatched the episode, and I think her win equity, I'm going to be, like, the guy that was just on simping for Jonathan. I feel like her win equity has jumped up like crazy, and I wanted to know what you thought.
Yeah, she's really in an interesting spot. We talked about her a little bit earlier of like, yeah, she could stick with her group, and you know, she is the person like in that Taku 4 who does have like the most advantages, so you can see like a path for her there, even though she kind of is like at the bottom of that 4. But you wonder, like, could she, you know, be hearing like from the Romeos and the Tories and the Chanels of the world? Like, hey, by the way, you know, Jonathan was saying, write your name down. Like, Lindsay told me to vote for mm-hmm. you. And so could she end up, you know, going in a completely different direction?
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought of in like when they were doing the challenge and Jonathan and they were kind of like correcting her and trying yes. to, if it was like, I couldn't like get a read on it. Like, are they trying to say like, oh, like these guys are really mansplaining how to do the challenge here. Like so annoying. Or were they trying to say like, Marianne won't listen to the smart, cool people like Jonathan? Like, I
don't know. It's a good question. Yeah. There were like two moments. There was one where, Jonathan had said, like, hey, turn the like puzzle pieces over so you could see them. And she was kind of like, yeah, I got it. And then I think it was High who was like, gave her like some advice. And she was like, oh, thank you so much for explaining that to me. I just wonder if it was sort of like, just like sassy, like Marianne things, to say more so than it was that, it could be part of like a bigger story of like, at some point, like Marianne's like, hey, people keep telling me what to do and I'm going to go out on my own and do my own thing.
Yeah. I think it could be something like that. I think there's I don't know. I think like something, I was going to call in with this question a few weeks ago because I've been very like, I think like a good Survivor strategy lately is like be the most middle you can be. Like maybe that's always
be
been
the most mid.
Yeah, absolutely. Like as a mid
and
as
it
you
worked
can be.
Last season.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, maybe that's always been a thing. So I don't know if it's new, but I'm just like, if you can be totally unremarkable, like, mm-hmm. that, like, for as long as possible. And I mean, Marianne's obviously like a standout personality, but I don't know. I think I made a big mistake with my winner pick of Roxroy, and I should have put on.
It's hard to see the path for Roxroy. but you make a good point, like, especially like where, you know, last season, where it's like whoever is like in like the best position, like probably like this is hard to tell after last week's episode, but like whoever comes out of this week's episode looking like the person to beat, like, is not going to be the winner of the show. Like, right. you can't peek at, like, the final 10, final 11. You kind of want to be just, like, drifting, like, off somebody and then, like, pass them, like, right at the end.
I know. And that, like, I really think, like, there's a lot of paths, I will say here, to, like, whoever the 0 or 1 vote finalist is going to be. I think, like, we may have some ideas of who that's going to be in the next week or two. But like with Tori, Roxroy, I think there's a lot of options there. So it's just like, who's going to actually be the person to get them there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's good. I'm excited. I was kind of like, I wasn't as high on the whole season as everyone else seemed to be until this past week. And then I got really excited about it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I think it's been a really fun season. So I've been very excited over these last 6 weeks. So hopefully we get a good back half of the season too. All right. Well, Taylor, it's so nice to hear from you always.
Yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going along. And I have a request from, let's see how many people we can get on today. Let's say hello to JB. Okay. JB, are you there?
Oh, hello. So nice to chat with you.
Nice to chat with you too, JB. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay.
Oh, with Danny Boatwright.
With Danny Boatwright. Not literally, right?
No. Well, technically, I'm in Shawnee, so okay. Yeah,
all right.
Pretty much.
JB, what's happening?
I hate to not have too much difference of thought because I'm kind of on the Marianne train too, but I did want to at least offer kind of like a specific guess of what might happen this episode.
Please.
I do think if Tori doesn't win immunity, she's probably going home, but I also see a path where they turn on Marianne, but she successfully plays her idol on herself. And then we lose someone like a Romeo. I don't know.
Okay.
Just my guess.
So Marianne, I mean, that would be pretty wild if then, she plays her idol, but then, I mean, that's sort of like the Kelly Wentworth scenario here. But gets out somebody who's not in that, like, in the power group.
Yeah, I do see there being a situation where somebody gets thrown 2 or 3 votes and they're out because of a successful idol play. Mm-hmm. And I just really want to see that. I know we don't get it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we'll see if Marianne's idol ends up coming up in this episode. If it does, JB, you called it this week.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if the other two tribes are going to be able to come together in time to take out the Taku train. I think they might all go deep.
Okay. All right, we'll see. And then do you feel like that Marianne is on her way to a win?
Yes, I have her on my draft, so yes, I'm going to stick with the Marianne train.
Okay, so, all right, you heard it. All right, JB.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, I have to pick up. All right, Lisa Holmes is here, fresh off an appearance with Shannon Gus this week. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
Lisa, what's going on?
not a lot.
How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm at work, so don't tell my work I'm calling.
I will not.
Being based in New Zealand, sometimes it's hard to, like, you know, get in the right time zone for these things. So I'm doing it.
Okay. All right. What time is it? First thing in the morning?
It's 9:30.
Okay.
9:21.
Okay, yeah. Great. All right. Well, hope this is a good start to your day.
It's a fantastic start. Your podcasting network has always already given me a platform to talk about this episode, the previous episode, for, like, you know, 2 hours with Shannon this week. So
yes,
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Gush on ideas.
I haven't gotten to listen yet, but, so all of your takes will be fresh to me.
don't expect you to listen. I don't even know. Could you even do your job if you had to listen to everything that was produced. I don't think so.
It's hard for me to, like, a lot of people can listen to a lot of their podcasts while they are at work. But for me, it is very difficult to listen to podcasts at work because I'm either like watching another thing or recording a thing that I have to listen to.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I'm ringing is because at the end of the podcast, Shannon like absolutely shocked me by saying I wasn't active on Twitter. And I was like, what? That is like outrageous. And then, yeah, it turns out it was true. So I'm doing 12 days of Twittering.
Yes. Okay.
And
Shannon like shamed your Twitter and said that you are not an active person on Twitter, or your account was inactive?
Oh, no, like she shamed me. Like, I'm going to be taking it up with the HR department.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, no, like, and I disagreed. And then, you know, she had the facts, she had the data, and yeah, not a prolific tweeter. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, and here you are on Twitter Spaces.
That's why I'm here. I'm just trying to, you know, tick that box, show, whoa, look how active I am. I'm participating.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
But I did want to share what people on the street in Christchurch, New Zealand are saying about this episode of Survivor, if you're interested.
Yes.
Is that show still on?
And what do you tell them?
I say, yes, it is. And they say, well, thank goodness they'll never do a New Zealand season because that reality TV stuff is tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just say, yeah, and just sort of like back into a bush Homer Simpson style.
Any word on more New Zealand Survivor?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think New Zealand and Australian society are like different but similar, and you know, like the type of figures that are really valued in Australian Survivor and that people love when they win Australian Survivor, you know, the strong guy, the bloke, the man's man, the joker. I think New Zealanders sort of enjoy that type of winner too. So yeah, ratings for New Zealand Survivor definitely went down as the season progressed. And,
yes. Is it bittersweet for you that you killed a New Zealand Survivor by winning it?
Oh, wow. I never thought about that before. I blame the fans.
Yeah, you didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You were great. You were great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay. All right, so people are thinking about Survivor the way that Shannon Gus is thinking about your Twitter. Is that even still on?
A little bit.
Okay, Lisa, are you seeing anybody that you are feeling particularly good about?
I can see quite a few people that have got a good way to get to the end. My problem with Survivor is I watch it and I see someone do something and I think, oh, well, that's it. This person can never win. Zero chance of winning the game, you know? And then I'll look at the list of people and I'll be like, oh, okay, all these people have done things that I think are totally rule them out. So obviously I'm wrong and someone's going to win. I'm not on the Marianne train. But I think she seems like an awesome person.
Yeah, I think that she, to me, like, I feel like that from the start of the season has felt like the person who is going to come in fifth or sixth, is like a no doubt person to come back as an All-Stars, but I don't see Marianne as a winner of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's like a number of things, but unless there's incredibly extenuating circumstances, people want the winner of their season to be someone they admire in whatever way, whether
that's a great
it's
point.
As a person or whether it's as a strategist or whatever they value. And I just don't think Marianne's got that, like, with her age and just the way, you know, she's relating to some of the people.
That's such a good point.
I don't see it.
Yeah, look at that exchange between Drea and Marianne and tell me that you see the scenario where, you know, Drea is, like feeling good about Marianne as the winner of the season.
Yeah, 100%. Or, you know, you're doing a challenge, people are giving you it. I mean, you just talked about this before, you know, and someone's giving you advice and you're like, yeah, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just...
Right. I mean, and in terms of like a final tribal council appearance, like it's hard to see, you know, where Marianne like is putting like the exclamation point on her game at final tribal council. And people are like, well, you know, walking away with like, that's that, you know, she's making a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
I think that she is like in a lot of ways, like kind of like the face of season 42, but I don't see her as the winner of season 42.
Yeah, the Survivor community is like, and Survivor as a show is enriched by having her on it, and it's enjoyable, and I love her, and yeah, All Stars appearance for sure, and like roll on another All Stars because those are my favorite seasons. But yeah, I don't get. Sometimes I think people are watching a different show from me. people predict to win or think you're doing badly or. I don't know, but that's the beauty. Everyone like pulls their own stuff out of it, much like all the players value different things when they vote for a winner. You know, the viewers value different things.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lisa, I hope you have a great day at work today, and it's always so nice to hear from you.
Thank you very much. This has been really fun.
Very fun. Okay, take care. All right.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Let's go and pick up another caller. Here's Cade. Okay. Cade, are you there?
Yeah, Rob, how are you doing, man?
Doing great, Cade. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, Cade, where are you calling from?
So I'm calling from Pennsylvania, but I moved here from Texas. So
okay.
Two of the places that have birthed some Survivor greats, or some areas.
For sure. Okay, including the winner of both of my seasons hail from the Keystone State.
Yeah.
Yes. Cade, what do you want to talk about?
So I wanted to ask you about Romeo's position. You famously got rid of the middleman in Amazon, and we typically think of the middleman as someone who is
middle woman in my case.
Middle woman, yes.
Yes.
But we typically think of that as someone who is even merged in the majority and then later becomes the middleman. But right now, Romeo, as you were talking about with Christian Ubicki, he has a lot of relationships with everyone, but he's not necessarily in the know. So do you think that being that sort of asset to other players, but not necessarily the traditional middleman?
I'm very worried about Romeo right now. I feel like that Romeo, like I feel like on paper could be in like a decent spot, but I'm just worried that Romeo is left out of what's going on. And I'm worried that he's panicking a little bit and maybe overplaying where he could be more on people's radar than say like a Tori or a Chanel.
Yeah, I agree. I think that being out of the vote or being out of the loop isn't necessarily a bad thing, but like you're saying, he's almost too far out of it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's impossible for him to, you know, get his way back in, but I think that he's kind of like the leader of the resistance in my mind, and I think that if the big group of seven or eight starts to feel that way too, I think he's going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, it just depends on whether or not the group decides to go at each other first and feel that dragging him along would be more beneficial than just cutting out someone that they feel like they have enough relationship to just go ahead and put him on the jury and then try to soften him up when it comes time for their final tribal.
Yeah, do they look at him as a threat or do they look at him as somebody that's like with them and they don't need to worry about? Because I think that he is very much a threat to that that big group. But I think that for Drea, I think it would be a mistake to get rid of him.
I agree. Yeah, I think and the what they consider a threat this season is so fluid because the fact that we're talking about Jonathan, who I traditionally love all those challenge beasts, it's fun to watch for me because I used to not focus in on the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're talking about so many people being threats or not threats, and that definition is fluid, I think there is a way he can kind of stay off of that
long enough to get a better foothold.
Yeah.
But it just depends on whether or not he has the wherewithal to do that in the moment.
Okay. We'll see. Cade, who's going to go out this week?
I would hope it's not Chanel, but if she can't recover from being talked about negatively by Mike and all those other people who kind of threw her under the bus as not being trustworthy after her trying to making accurate decisions to try and save herself in case the shot in the dark were played or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can see her, or I don't think High would go out, but
no, I don't think so either.
I think we've seen enough of him that with the way that they edited last season, it's plausible.
Yeah. I think you're right about Chanel. If I had to pick any one person, I would say it's Chanel, only because that I feel like that High and Mike feel very strongly about, hey, all right, look, we want Chanel out next. You want her to be one of the next people. And I think if you're one of the Taku people and you hear that, it's like fantastic news. You know, great. I would love to take out another one of your numbers.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things about having three tribes versus two.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think you've touched on it before. It's like, three tribes, there's so many different ways that you can get a majority.
It's a better merge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Cade, great to talk to you.
And thank you, Rob.
All the best to you, and talk to you again soon, okay?
Yes, sir. You have a good day.
Okay. Great. All right. Let's say hello to Jared, who Jared wants to talk about how Tori can win. Okay. I would like to hear this. All right. Jared, are you there?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Doing well. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Is it Jared or Gerard?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Okay, Jared, where are you calling from?
I'm from New Zealand, so it's actually quite nice to hear Lisa was talking just earlier.
Yes. Do you miss New Zealand Survivor, Jared?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I've been trying to get on for a while. I've been sending our TV production company emails trying to get on.
Okay. All right. Well, keep your fingers crossed. All right, Jared. All right. So you have a path to the end for Tori. I want to hear this.
Yeah. I think she has a likely path to get through if she plays her cards right.
Now, when you say, and not just a path to the end, because I could see Tori going to the end and being the zero vote finalist, but you have a path for Tori to go to the end and win.
Yeah, I think there's a likelihood that could happen.
Let me hear this.
So if you remember back to the start of the season, she was reading the advantage for the potato has skin advantage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I feel like if she's going to find out about this in some way, she's maybe going to find out that Drea was lying to her, and maybe she's going to vote her out, or maybe use that advantage to go after Marianne or something.
Yeah, so I don't even know if she was like she's like looking at something, but I think that is footage. Like, I think that people have confirmed that shot that they used is her from early on in the game. Like, I don't think that it's necessarily that she is reading the idol clue.
Right. That's a likelihood. That's possible. Yeah, I still think there's a chance she's going to read it and might have like some sort of realization or something. But yeah, that is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think she turns on Drea?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the possible pathways forward. I've got a couple of other ones if you want to hear them out.
I'm not so sold on that one, so let me hear the next one.
Yeah, so obviously the most of the heat is on Marianne at the... Chanel at the moment.
Okay.
So she's probably the next one to go. So she's got a little bit of a buffer to like start to get some relationships and start getting a resistance going. So I guess the way I see forward is this collapse of Taku, because there's still got four of them in the majority of eight. So I guess if she teams up with High and Mike from the Green Tribe,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what they called, sorry.
Vati, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So if they team up, because it's starting to get small numbers. It'll be 6-4 at that point if Chanel goes home. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I don't know.
That could,
Jared, is still a little thin in terms of how we're getting Tori to the end to win. We haven't even seen her have a conversation with either of those people.
Yeah, I guess if she gets a resistance going, like maybe she talks to Drea, she finds out about the amulet.
Yeah.
Maybe she can vote out one of the
right. If I had to, like, if I had to sort of like spin it, where you know we get Tori to the end, and again, it's really hard for me to even envision her like winning. But like, I feel like that the Taku Four people start to realize, hey, this is a big deal. And so that whether it's like with original Ika sticking together with either Mike and Hai, or potentially like with, you know, or if like, you know, there's some group of people like a resistance group of like Romeo, Tori, Chanel, maybe they pull Marianne in, like, could Rox Roy even potentially like go with them? Like, maybe it's like a like you could see like maybe like a total flip of like all the people that are at the bottom, like ending up taking out like all of like the big threats. And we have like, you know, basically like a modern day like Survivor Gabon, where, you know, all of the bottom players end up like sort of like being the last five or six.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. I'm enjoying some of the chaotic energy at the bottom of the, even if Chanel stays around, I reckon we'll have a pretty exciting season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I still think it's unlikely, but you know, look, it's the show has been a surprise every step of the way.
Well, you heard it here first. So if that ever happens, you'll know I was the first one to call that.
The modern Gabon. Okay. All right. Jared, thank you so much for the call. Okay.
Yeah. Cheers for having me.
Okay. Take care. Bye. All right. Let's say hello to, let's try, Jadon is on hold. Let's bring on, Jadon. Jadon, are you there?
Hi. Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Doing well. Am I saying that right?
Jadon.
Jadon. Like Jadon. Okay. All right. Jadon, your connection's a little noisy. Let me hear your question.
Yeah, I was just, excited to talk about the season. I'm curious why you think Taku is doing so right, just because I feel like before the merge, we were getting the messaging that like Taku is this unstoppable force, and at least I thought that Ika and Vati would really band together against Taku, but it seems like whether it be their good social game or just Omer's great strategy in the last week's episode, that they've really been able to put themselves in a power position. I'm just curious what you think is the driving force there.
Okay. It's a very good question. If you don't mind, do you mind muting while I answer? Okay. So I would say that what Taku is doing well, I think that for one, I think the Advantage Amulet is doing a lot of work for Lindsay in particular, where Drea, and also that we have with Hai feeling like they want to work with her. I think that Jonathan has had like a really good social game where people have felt like very much like they want to bond with him. I think that Omer has had like a really good social game as well. And I think that they were like not necessarily like sitting and resting on their laurels when they got to the merge beach and made a lot of like important connections with Hai, with Mike, with Drea, with like the power players that were there. And so I think that they were able to form like some pretty good bonds, and they got like dealt like a really bad hand with Rox Roy breaking the hourglass, but somehow they were able to, you know, keep all of their numbers protected. So that I think it's just been like really, really good play on the part of, like, I thought from Omer and Jonathan specifically. Lindsay, we didn't see as much from her in the episode. And Marianne, you know, seems to be like a likable person where people did not want to ultimately get rid of her at the end of the day, even though like her own tribe said her name. What do you think about that, Jadon?
Yeah, no, that all makes sense to me. I think that there's just some really good social players on that tribe, it's clear that a lot of people from Vati and Ika just like immediately sort of like like a magnet, sort of just drew to them and wanted to work with them. So I think it bodes really well for the future.
Yeah, and I think that the best thing going for them is also their cohesiveness, where that if like the best thing for them is like if Roxroy and Drea really want to get rid of Tori, and if Hai and Mike really want to get rid of Chanel, and if you can keep the other groups like firing at their own side continually for the next couple of votes, that could really put them in a good position where you get to they need to get to 8 with this group of 4 to be able to have a stranglehold on the game.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like they were just really lucky that there are some like black sheep on the other tribes that both of them want to get rid of.
Okay. All right, Jaden, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. Got a couple of more people on hold. Let's go to Jonas. Okay. Let's try Jonas. Jonas, how are you?
Oh, hey, Rob. How's it going?
Going great. Jonas, where are you calling from?
Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. All right. These have been so much fun because we really get to hear from people all over the world who are watching Survivor. Jonas, what's happening?
All is well. Just waking up, starting the day. It's 7:45 around here. So, yeah. Nice.
Good morning.
Time to chat. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Yeah. Happy. Happy Survivor Day, but it's still not. It's still your Survivor's on Thursday.
A day ahead. We're a day ahead.
Yeah.
I just have a question. I've been really optimistic of Taku's chances going ahead with the 8, and I think they've got 4 out of the 8. But what do you give any credence to Mike being the +1 to the 8? I think he's got real good relationships with Jonathan, and there's a subtle mention of like the strong people not surviving in the past. I think Omar, Mike, and Jonathan can really take this through. I'm just wondering your thoughts on it.
So interested to know, you called Mike the +1 in the 8. What do you mean by that?
Oh, +1 to the Taku 4.
Okay, got it.
So they're holding the majority of the the 8 person alliance with the Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Mike wanting to, grab on to Jonathan and with Omer, but I kind of feel like that Marianne, I see likely to defect at that point, if Mike is being brought in. So it's hard for me to, see that as being, the group that ultimately wins out, Taku plus Mike.
Yeah, I was thinking that they would assume that it's +4. I mean, Taku's strong, and then Mike comes in, and the boys turn on the girls. Interested to see how it all goes. And I think right now it's so chaotic that even the 8 strong seem to be not that confident going strong moving ahead. But yeah, Tori might go out this week, and looking forward to seeing what divulges with this 8.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I whatever is going to happen, I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as any of these this 4 or the men or the women or any particular grouping. I think that this thing is going to change from week to week. This is going to be a very fluid season, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's what predictions are for, because ultimately we all don't know what's going to go ahead. But yeah, it's fun making these predictions and seeing what can happen.
Okay.
Jonas, thanks for all feedback.
Very nice to talk to you.
Thanks, babe.
Okay, all right. And then let me pick up got one more person on hold. This is Triple Check. Okay. Triple Check. Are you there? Triple Check with a corgi for an icon.
Hey, can you hear me, Rob?
Yes. Is that a corgi?
It's actually a very fat golden retriever.
Oh, okay. All right. Hard to tell.
Yeah, this is Jen. Sorry, I'm a patron. I'm on my secret Twitter.
Okay, good, Jen. I won't dox your burner Twitter. Jen, where are you calling from?
From Ohio.
Okay. All right, Jen. What's happening?
Well, I wanted to throw out a kind of completely baseless prediction.
Those are the best kind.
I was thinking about who's most likely to get idled out this season.
Yes.
And I'm going to throw out the prediction that Jonathan is going to get idled out this season.
Okay. I could see it. I mean, that's what happened to the mayor of Slamtown. Who's, do you want to be so bold as to say whose idol is going to get him?
Ooh. I'm going to say Marianne.
Marianne plays her idol and knocks out Jonathan.
And I don't even know if she'd be doing that on purpose. I just think Jonathan is likely to be a backup a lot because he's just this kind of vague threat that everyone's kind of worried about and it's easy to rally votes around him. So I feel like he's just going to be the backup vote a lot and just might be the collateral damage when somebody successfully plays an idol.
I mean, Jonathan has been built up quite a bit, you know, in this season, you know, I guess, and we'll find out eventually, like, is he built up because he's the winner of the season? Is he built up because, like, oh, he goes out in a shocking way and now, like, well, we need to see him back because it was a fluke the way that he went out. So, I definitely could see it. You know, you have Mike's idol, which that would be very ironic if Mike plays his idol and then his buddy ends up going out. And you have Drea also with her idol. So, you know,
or maybe High, if High eventually ends up with that, with the secret blood and mud idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see that happening maybe, and maybe that would be on purpose.
It would be very fitting that Jonathan has been referred to as a Goliath a number of times, that in David versus Goliath, it was like the idol is sort of like the slingshot used to take down a Goliath. So it would be, you know, I think that would be a fitting way for Jonathan to go. We'll see.
Yeah. And but I mean, I think he's okay for a couple of weeks. His legacy in some ways. But I mean, I could certainly see him getting to the end, but I'm still kind of, I don't know if I really see him winning.
It's because hard I don't to, know like, if I see him really being, see it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to see him being like strategic and cutthroat enough to get to the end with the correct people. I could definitely see him getting to the end, but I would imagine him being with like Omer and then losing.
It's just that he's done a really good job so far. I don't want to take anything away from Jonathan because there's some people that love Jonathan so much. And, you know, if you say anything about like that, you know, okay, well, I could see Jonathan not winning. Like, oh, you hate Jonathan. And it's like, that's not the case at all. But I do feel like that, you know, the longer he lasts in the game, I think the bigger his shadow is going to get on the rest of the players. Yeah. And it's hard to imagine a scenario where he's there at the final seven, unless like the numbers are all with him that, you know, how do you not, you know, vote him out? That it would have to be, he would have to be with people that are so loyal to him. And even like the Omers and Lindsay's and Mike's of the world, you know, who love the guy, they have to be saying like, okay, if he gets to the end, maybe they feel like, okay, he's a bad talker. We'll run circles around him at the final tribal council. Maybe.
Well, and I mean, I could see that because I feel like in these recent seasons, there's been like juries have been rewarding the more strategic players. And like, we didn't foresee how much Xander was just going to be disregarded as a winner pick. So I don't know. I could imagine, I mean, Jonathan's very different from Xander, but I could imagine him getting kind of not as many votes as people might think based on the edit. If people aren't seeing him as a real strategic, like as the real driver of the strategic bus, as much as somebody like Omer or High or even maybe Lindsay, if she kind of emerges more later in this season,
All good points, Jen. Yeah, I just like feel like if he's there at the final tribal council, like I think that if he just like talks about how like nobody thought I would make it to the end, people like me get targeted where like I had to, you know, play my ass off to get here to this point in the game, and I think that people would probably agree with that.
Yeah, but if he's with Omer or somebody like that, couldn't he say like, well, I dragged him to the end. You know, like, you're here because I saved you time and time again. And you just kind of
Omer did save him this week. But, I wonder if it's, like, the thing where if enough people are annoyed with him of, like, you didn't do anything. You were a shield for me. You were a shield for him. But could he flip that around and say like, you all thought I was a shield for you and you forgot to vote me out?
Yeah. I could see that.
You could argue it both ways. I think that's what's kind of fun about the final tribal council. If people don't have their minds made up already.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm still putting my money on he gets idled out.
Okay, that's a great call. that you called your shot. If we end up, we'll say that, you know, Jen on her burner Twitter said that Jonathan was going to get idled out of the game.
I don't do anything sketchy on my burner Twitter. I'm just a college professor, and my real Twitter is mostly like professional networking.
You don't need to explain it to these people. Yeah,
I just want to tweet about Survivor.
Okay, all right, Jen. So nice to hear from you. Thanks for your support as a patron, and really great to talk to you today.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, cool. All right. I don't have anybody else on hold. This is really fun. I hope to keep doing these. Maybe trying to think about doing one maybe after the episode here, whether it's on Twitter Spaces. I've thought about messing around with the Spotify version of this, the Spotify Live, and see how that goes. But I love getting to talk with all of the people out there who are interested in calling in and talking about Survivor. You know, I love talk radio, so this is always really fun for me to get to do this, and I love hearing from all these different opinions from around the world of people that we don't get to talk to during the Survivor week. So thank you so much for listening once again. Hope you're doing great. Enjoy the episode on Wednesday night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.